Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are here for another episode. Listeners, I say it every episode because I mean it from the heart every episode. I truly appreciate and do not take for granted that you show up episode after episode, that you listen, that you provide feedback, whether it is via the Apple Podcast platform with those ratings and those stars that make such a difference, or whether you send an email via successfuldiligence.com/contact, or the most fun, when you send those voice messages via the link in the show notes. I personally answer every email, every voice message, because you all are so incredible. I really have the best audience ever. And that's why I'm so committed. And I really am going to stay committed to bringing you value-added conversations with incredible people who are just doing the most incredible things in the world. And today is no different. Of course, I have an amazing person to speak with today. Her name is Raven M. Harris, and she is the CEO and founder of Activate the Dream. Now, Activate the Dream is a leadership solutions and lifestyle company. And through teaching, speaking, and consulting, she equips dreamers who are seeking a second chance with the tools necessary to finally attach a reality to their dream. And that's so important to have reality with your dream, because if you just have a dream and it doesn't come into reality, then what good is it for you? Now, Raven is anchored in faith, focus, and fortitude. And her goal is to partner with leaders, high achievers, and dreamers to eliminate obstacles and create possibilities. She is also the host of the video podcast, Reset with Raven, where she, along with guests, share the strategies that they use to successfully navigate resets in their career, life, and business. Raven's coaching, teaching, and speaking provides listeners with a masterclass on how to reset with clarity, confidence, and boldness. Man, I love all of that. Raven, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michelle. That was an amazing introduction.
Well, you are an amazing human being. So, I mean, it just goes with the territory of being who you are. So I'm just so excited for my audience to get to know you, to hear more of your story, to learn all of these wisdom nuggets about clarity and resetting and all the things with boldness and confidence, because we can all use more of that. So for my audience who is just getting to know you, tell us a little bit about who you are beyond the bio and how you came to do the work that you do.
Beyond the bio. So it all started for me when I was younger. I wanted to be an actress. I am very introverted. And the one time where I felt like my extroverted side really showed up when I was given the opportunity to be on a stage. I loved acting. I loved theater. I love performing. And when I was younger, I was like, okay, I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to move to LA. I always said I was going to be on Nickelodeon, Disney Channel.
You were going for the gold.
Yes, the whole nine yards. And along the way in life, that dream was like squashed. I went for a couple of auditions, even took some headshots, and felt along the way and kind of had some outside noise and chatter. Oh, it's too hard. Who do you think you are? I'm from small town, USA, middle of nowhere. And you know, you don't have the contacts. You don't live in LA. You don't have the experience, all of those things. So my dream of becoming a child actor really just started to dissipate. And I, you know, continued in school, was really good in math and science, and started off thinking that I was going to be a doctor when I went off to college because I was good in math and science, was miserable, graduated with a biology degree, and was miserable the entire time. And I remember even one of my friends saying, the reason why you like hate going to chemistry lab, bio lab, is because you aren't meant to be in the lab. You are meant to be presenting it or on the stage or on the cover of the newest pharmaceutical or drug that just came out. And I remember she said that my senior year, and I just kind of like laughed it off, even though deep down, like I connected with that. So continued, graduated from college, didn't know what I wanted to do after college. So went back to college again. Of course, that's what you do, you know, get another degree, and got into quote unquote, the real world, contributing member of society and a healthcare administration role. So that was where I got to mix business as well as healthcare together because I realized I wasn't interested in actually practicing medicine. And things really came to like a standstill or an impasse for me last year, 2020. I was working in a critical illness recovery hospital, and even pre-COVID, we had the third highest acuity in the nation. So the sickest of the sickest patients. And I remember there was a patient who was the exact same age as me, even resembled me. And they were there because of a freak accident that resulted in them having a C2 spinal injury. And I was the patient advocate. And this patient really touched me and hit me like no one else. Daily, I was FaceTiming with the patient, the patient's mom, the patient's siblings, the patient's daughter. I felt like I was a part of the family. And I just remember going into the room and the patient not being able to complete, that they ended up being a complete quadriplegic, couldn't move, and just tears running down their eyes. And I remember the patient basically communicating that they felt like their life was over. And what hit me was they look like me, they're the same age as me, and their entire life had been turned upside down. And I think so many times we think we have time. We have time to get it right. We have time to go after our dreams, our ideas, our goals. And we do, but how much? And it was a turning point for me. And I said, Raven, you've always wanted to do something different. You've always wanted to encourage, empower. You've always wanted to speak. You've always wanted to speak life into people. This is the time. This is your wake-up call. You are in the midst of a pandemic. You are seeing people firsthand pass away unexpectedly, quickly, freak accidents, all of that. This is your time. And it just really moved me with an urgency now to make a change, to activate my own dreams.
Wow. I mean, you said a mouthful there, Raven, and so much to unpack, but wow. So the reason I'm a little bit, I'm marinating as we're talking, listeners, and sometimes that doesn't happen. I just respond, but you said so much that was really profound that I really want to unpack it. The first thing is that I can relate to you. I'm an ambivert, which means that I am an extroverted introvert is how I used to describe it until I learned from Lubna Zaru, one of my other podcast guests, that no, you are an ambivert, she says. And that's where you have qualities of both an introvert and an extrovert. And I do lean more towards the introvert side, so I can completely relate to that. And I love in your story how you can really identify the seeds that grew to fruition while you were walking a life path that didn't appear to be consistent with what you really desired and wanted. And I love that because I'm a big believer that everything in our life is for a purpose and a reason and contributes to the next season, right? Because it contributes to who you become as a person. And the person that you are today, you needed to walk through that path to be able to serve in the way that you do now, which I love love, love that friend that dropped that seed that was like, no, girl, you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you said you didn't act on it, but you received it and you allowed it to come in and germinate and grow until the season 2020, which for a lot of us was the season for those seeds to finally grow into that tree. And you activated the dream, your dream, so that you could then walk the walk, talk the talk, and give what you already know and experience to others to help them activate their dreams. And I love that type of story where it's the real, real, because listeners, you know, I'm always saying you can't give what you don't have and you can't have it unless you own it and you've walked it yourself. And so Raven, I love that. I love that. So when your dream, when your life got activated in the pandemic, right? And you needed to shift from what you were doing to what you are doing. Talk to me about that process and that journey. How did you navigate that?
I remember initially, I call it download. When I got that download, like, you have to do this. My birthday was coming up too. And I was like, there's something about a birthday that is a reminder of like newness, a new start, a new blessing. And what I did was I consulted, I would call them like my top five, or some people call it their board of governors, because I didn't want too many people that, especially that didn't have my best interest in mind, or even that had my best interest in mind, were well-intended to really give me poor advice. So I consulted people and I shared, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going through, you know, what are your thoughts? And there is a person who worked for the same company as me. And what she said to me stuck out. I mean, like, it just kept, I kept like thinking about it. I slept on it. I woke up. She said, if you don't do what you have that inner tug to do, you will resent yourself. She said, you will live with regret. Because as you're talking about, yes, as you're talking about it, I hear you've already made the decision. I hear it in your voice. And if you don't do it, you'll resent yourself.
Let's just sit with that for a minute, because so many people hear that or feel that and don't act on it. And number one, kudos to you for paying attention, right? And knowing that this is not going to go away, because a lot of times we have that inner tug that you mentioned, that inner knowing that says, this is not working, we need to do something different, but we don't pay attention to it. We sort of dismiss it. And so listeners, I encourage you, if you're like Raven and you felt that tug, you feel that tug, if one of your inner circle, your, what did you call it? Board of governors, those selective people that you should listen to in your life, because we don't need to listen to everybody, but those selective people who have your best interest at heart that you know are for your good. If you're getting the same messages in life over and over, it's time to pay attention. And I love that you did that and then really heard what they were saying to you. And there's such power in not disappointing yourself, because so often we do disappoint ourselves, and that's where our lack of confidence and that imposter syndrome comes from, I think. So it's really powerful what she said. Say it again for us. And then how did you take action on that?
She said that if you don't do what you know you need to do, you'll resent yourself. And another thing I wanted to point out, as you were saying, the repetition. I had received this message. That's another thing about life leaves clues, success leaves clues. I had received this message for years, over and over and over again. And I didn't listen to it. I ignored it. And I wondered, like, why are you so unhappy? Because quite frankly, I was pretty successful on paper. At the time, I was the interim CEO of this particular hospital, and I'm not even 29 years old yet. So I was pretty successful on paper.
Wow.
Why is it?
Well, hold on. We gotta honor that right there, because I know you weren't happy in it and it's not where you were headed. But my goodness, Raven, I mean, so another thing, listeners, you know, I do the generations talk seasons and episodes, and I love that you're a millennial that had successful, extreme success in your early 20s, because life just gets started then, right? And here you are, a CEO, working it out. I got to honor that girl. Yes. Yes. Give you your flowers for that. I know it wasn't the ultimate, but yes. Wow. That's incredible. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. But I think that it was so important for me to finally listen to those inner tugs. It was an honor my values. And that's one of the things that I was not clear on prior to all of this. So how did I take action on it? One of the first things I started doing was journaling, writing down what's important. And now I call them like, here are my top five values. I'm big on the number five is grace. So what are your top five values? And then how are you making decisions that honor your values? Because a lot of people say, well, this is important to me. But how do you move? How do you act around what you said is important to you? So for me, one of the things that was very important to me is my family, particularly my parents. My parents live in Georgia. And at the time, I was in Arizona. And it is very important to me. I'm an only child, too. So my parents have a very special place in my heart. And I'm sure likewise. And I remember saying, what's important to you in this season in your life? What was very important to me, utmost important to me, and who I would want to be with no matter what is my parents. And how am I making decisions, whether it be for career, geographically, where I am right now is to be with my parents. So I knew I needed to make some adjustments that align with what I said my values were.
That is key. Now, we're going to get into the other four. Good God. I'm so glad you're on the show. Listeners, if you don't pick up that this woman has tremendous wisdom, I mean, my goodness, the gold bars that she's dropping, you need to like rewind if you need to, or listen to this again. You said two things that I just want to highlight. You said, number one, the messages that you finally paid attention to repeated themselves in your life, which means that sometimes, and this is something that I learned early on, you're going to do it if you want to, you're going to do it if you don't, because we are all created with a purpose and a gift, and there's some things that are non-negotiable. And so for your life, there were certain things that you had to do that you were going to do whether you wanted to or not, and those messages were going to keep coming until you finally paid attention, listened, and activated. And I love that. The second thing you said, which is so powerful, and listeners, we're going to walk in truth because that's my thing, right? We're going to tell the truth. You said, Raven, your top five values, and five is important, but you said, am I acting on what I said was important to me? Do we actually do what we say is important? Because what we do speaks volumes more than what we say. I love that. Okay, what is your value number two?
The family is actually number two. My faith is number one.
So faith comes first, which is for me a foundation as well. I resonate with that. So faith and then family. Okay. So what's number three?
Number three is exploration. So I love new information. I love travel. I love art museums. And when I think of exploration, both literally as well as physically. So like, how can I see new things? How can I experience new things? So I consider myself a lifelong learner. I'm always seeking new information and new experiences.
I love that. You're like my new bestie now, because I'm resonating with you like all over the place. I love that. And, you know, listeners, that's another key wisdom right there, is that adventure doesn't mean you have to go to Maui or go to the Amalfi Coast, where my husband and I are eventually going to go because we love that place on the screen and what we see, because we've never been. But adventure doesn't always have to be external, is what I'm hearing you say. It's also internal. And I think that inner curiosity can sometimes lead us to the most fascinating places. So I love that value. So faith, family, exploration. What's number four?
Impact. How do I leave? I define leadership as how you make everyone else around you better. So how did I make this experience better? How did I make, when I was in this particular hospital, how did I come and impact lives, impact the staff members, the patients, the family members? And of course, you know, when there was no visitation, I had family members calling me 2 a.m., 3 a.m., can I get an update? what's going on Saturday, all types of things. I'm there 7 days a week. How am I making, because especially when I think about healthcare, no one is like excited ever to go to a hospital. So I would always tell families, how can I make this the best experience possible under the circumstances? So impact and how I leave people feeling and knowing that I provided the superb experience for the patient, the family, the staff members, everybody involved. I want people like, I believe when you feel good, you do good. So how can I make sure, and I think that helps in the recovery process and in a healthcare environment. So how do I make sure everybody is performing and feeling at their best when they're around me?
I love that. And for me, leadership is influence, but influence creates impact. And so I love that perspective. And listeners, what I want to add to what you just said, Raven, is that when you feel good, you do good, and you then have a more effective, I think, impact and influence on other people. But that also applies for yourself. And when you're taking care of yourself and when you're paying attention to your needs and what is good for your life, your influence and impact then becomes a little bit more pure for those that you are serving. And so I absolutely love it. I love it. Okay, what's number five?
Comfort. I love nice things. I love nice things. And comfort comes from not just even things, but like from a peace of mind. Mm. So when I think of comfort, I think of it like, what am I doing to recharge? What am I doing to refill my cup? What am I doing to reset? And also too, how am I enjoying life? How am I enjoying and embracing the moment in a comfortable, peaceful, relaxing environment as well as state of mind?
You know, I don't know. People say, oh, I want to enjoy my life, right? And I'm going back to what you said, you want to enjoy your life, but are your actions really saying you want to enjoy your life, right? And because that's a wisdom that is resonating. I think that's one of my top takeaways from our conversation. Are you really living what you say you want to be living? That for me is key. And I love how you said comfort, because when you were describing what comfort means to you, it was resonating with what I call self-care. And so listeners, pick up on this. You know, just because her value label may say something different, if you're resonating, create your own list of values, whether it's 5, 7, 3, or even just one, that will be a guidepost for you. And Raven, talk to me about your reset and how you navigated that, and then how you help your clients navigate their resets, because it's a process. You got to identify where you are, that it's not working, like all the things. So talk to us about what is a reset, right? How did you do it? How do you help your clients do it? All the things.
You know, a reset, the way I define reset, we're either going through one, we just came out of one, or we're in one right now. So everyone experiences resets and they're different. The way I see a reset too is, though, what did you learn from the experience? Whether it was an obstacle, whether it was a perceived failure, whether it was a hiccup, whether it was a mistake along the way, it's an opportunity to reevaluate, you know, what just happened and why, and what can I learn from it? From my reset, I really learned more about myself. I'm continuing to evolve. And also too, one of the biggest things I learned is like knowing which season you are in life. As I'm starting something new, I've realized, because this is a completely new journey for me, as I'm doing more inner work, as I am have my own coaches, as I am coaching, as I'm doing more speaking, for so long, I feel like my inner voice was silence. And now to find my voice again, even though it was something I loved for years, but had really just kind of gotten quiet because I thought it was impossible or too hard. So I'm going through a process right now and this season of finding my own voice, as well as planting seeds. And I know the harvest will come, but I know right now I am in a planting season. So my reset also too was realizing that I'm not my titles, I'm not my accomplishments. That was one of the things too, because after I transitioned out of that role, I realized initially my identity was attached to my title, my identity. Oh, I'm in healthcare, or I'm you know, CEO, what have you, or I have this degree, or I have this postgraduate degree. So when all of those things were changed and I was going through a transition or a reset, I realized that I had attached my identity to those. And I'm more than, you know, daughter, CEO, graduate, what have you. I'm a person who wants to help other people realize their greatness. And I've only realized that for myself, probably within the past year, that one of my superpowers, I can interact with people and pull out their greatness. But it's not important just for me to see it. I help them see it. So many
people. That's so important because they have to activate. You can't activate for them. They have to activate.
And I think we need support and guidance along the way. And sometimes we don't even see the greatness in ourselves because we put some blinders on, or maybe society or life have put blinders on us. Or maybe if you're like me, someone told you what you couldn't do, how hard it was, how impossible it was. And it's like anything worth having, anything that's great, any major accomplishment, there will be challenge. You're swimming against the tide. You will feel resistance. And I feel like what I've learned throughout my life, it's almost like resistance is a sign like, oh, this, you're onto something. This is something good. There's something like phenomenal on the other side. Push past this. Just like if you're in the gym and you're working out, the higher you go in resistance and weight, that's when the muscle starts to build. And with life, you have to work on your mental fitness as well. So my reset has been a series of many resets within it. But I would say the biggest thing that I've really worked on is my mental fitness, my values and honoring those values, and creating a clear vision. When you don't have a vision, it's like write the vision and make it plain. You know, so many people are like, well, I'm not successful. I'm not where I want to be. And then you ask them, what's success? Or how do you define success? What does that look like for you? What does that sound like for you? Where are you when it comes to success? And people cannot clearly articulate what that is. So if you don't know what the target is, how will you hit it? So that vision, that values, that is super important when you are in a reset, clearly identifying first what those are.
Yeah, I love that. And it's amazing to me that you are as young as you are, but have these, you know, wise wisdom nuggets that have been downloaded, but also experienced and lived already in the short time that you've been here on the earth. I love that. I think it's amazing because it speaks to your greatness. And you're right, you know, I call it rewriting the narrative for that mental fitness, where you are evaluating those stories that other people told you, that you told yourself, and you're paying attention to, you know, is this true? Where is the evidence that this is actually fact? And if it's not, let's rewrite it. And if it is, well, let's explore that and still rewrite it, you know, and get to where we need to go. But you are spot on, as the British say. Without clarity, without a target, without a destination identifier, you're not going to get there because you don't know where to go. Except that I believe if you show up and keep walking, you will reach your destination, because we all are on a specific path that will lead us there. Similar to your story about getting that seed in college that began to grow and sort of, I think, influence some of your decisions later on, because it was growing on the inside. And so you sort of have that internal compass that guides us if we pay attention, if we listen. And then if we get the support that Raven was talking about, it's amazing to me how every coach has a coach. And you mentioned it earlier, success leaves clues. Nobody gets through life alone, you know? And so I love those things. And when you have that clarity, and when you have that support, and when you have that map of where you're going, and you understand the guiding values that influence you to serve and to give that gift of who you are, I think, and let me know your thoughts, I think that's where the confidence in life comes from, to just be unapologetically you and do what you came here to do and get it done in the way that that is unique to you. Because we could be doing the same thing, saying the exact same things, but it's different because it's coming from two different people with two different experiences and two different ways of delivery. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about the confidence that comes with that clarity.
You know, as you were saying that, I thought about clarity comes also with action. So though I am an advocate of having a vision, some of the things and some of the steps along the way, you may not know how it all works out. And as you continue to take a step, take the next step, then doors will open. Then you will see, oh, okay, well, that's why this happened, or this is how this works. And then that's the importance also too, as you talked about support, whether it be coaching, community, to help guide you along the way and to say, oh, well, how do you do this? Or how have you done this before? Or what, you know, what are your thoughts on this? Someone who has actually successfully done something similar or has some wisdom in that area. But I definitely believe that as you take the next step, it's like, oh, okay. And that's the only way you're going to get comfortable. I think when it comes to confidence, you have to do it. There's so many things and people are like, oh, well, I'll even give an example. Public speaking. You know, I'm so uncomfortable public speaking. I get nervous. Well, have you done it? Because the more you do it, the more comfort and the more confidence you will have. When you're first starting in anything, again, it's like swimming against the tide. It's uncomfortable. There's some dis-ease about, you know, in every, I think most people, every worst case scenario pops in your head. But that along the way, you will gain that confidence. And when it comes to, I take this quote from Dave Ramsey. And when I was thinking about like expertise, he says, I'm an expert at my own opinion. And the way I took that is that when you talk about confidence and you were saying like, people may be saying similar things, but it's different when it comes to you, your story. No one knows your story like you know your story. No one can tell your story like you can tell it, with the emotion, the experience, the excitement, the hills, the valleys. And that is what makes each and every one of us different. It makes you unique. It makes your story is what makes you shine, because you were there, you experienced it. And I think we connect with stories because you're like, oh, wow. You know, Michelle, she gets me. And when she was talking about this, oh, I resonated with that. Oh, me too, right? So I think that's another thing. When you rest in, this is my story, this is my experience, I think there lies the confidence, because you know your story, you know you better than anyone.
Yeah, but you said something earlier that was a powerful key to success in anything in life. And that is, you've got to take action, right? And I'm thinking that's part of your activation in Activate the Dream, is you've got to activate it. You've got to take action. You know, when we're baking, if you're a baker and you need that yeast or that activation agent in your baking to make the cupcake or cake or bread or whatever it is you're baking rise or become what it's going to turn out to be. So I love that. I love that. So, oh my gosh, Raven, I told you, you're my new bestie. We could talk forever. I really could go on and on, but unfortunately the podcast does come to an end. But before we go, man, there's so much I want to ask you. Before we go, what are like one or two things you really want the audience to walk away with? And then we're going to get into how people can find you, because I know my listeners are resonating with you like I am. And they're like, I need more of her. Where can I find her? But first, one or two things that you really want the audience to walk away from our conversation with.
You know, we talked about it earlier, is just take the first step. Take the first step, break the ice, and you will get through it. You will gain that confidence along the way, but you must take the first step.
I agree. And I think also, as we take action, additional enhanced clarity comes as well. Because when you said like public speaking, and you know, have you done it? How do you know you don't like it? How do you know you're going to be uncomfortable? Because I remember when I started this podcast, listeners, I had no idea what a podcast was. I was a guest on someone's show. I was like, oh, I can do this. Showed up and was nervous as all get out. And of course you start with the people that you force to listen to the show. Those five people who are like, did you listen? Did you get, you know? And then as more people listen, I found that I absolutely love talking with incredible people like yourself, Raven, I'm thinking of raisins in my head. Raven, who have such wisdom and knowledge and expertise to share with the world. And I love having a platform to introduce my audience to you all, because when one person wins, we all win is my philosophy. And I love it. But who knew that I would love podcasting until I actually did it? I had to activate, I had to take action. I had to do it uncomfortable. I had to do it imperfectly. And so I love that one of your takeaways was take the first step and then take the next step. And then the activation, the clarity, it will come. Oh my gosh, Raven. I know people are like, this is not long enough, Michelle, but we're not going to listen for 2 hours because it's not the Joe Rogan experience. But how can we experience more of Raven? Where can we find her? How can we connect? Where can people find you?
First and foremost, I have a very similar story with you when it comes to like starting a podcast. So I also have a podcast, Reset with Raven, on all streaming platforms. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Raven M. Harris, as well as Instagram, Raven M. Harris.
I love it. And listeners, you know, I hook you up. In the show notes will be all of the links to click and go, click and go. I encourage you, please connect with Raven. She is an incredible human. And I love, you know, I'm learning, I'm a Gen Xer, and I love me some millennials. I mean, some of my besties are millennials, like for real, because I think your generation is not understood, misunderstood, and not advocated for in terms of giving the platform to really allow the expression of the truth of who you all really are as a generation. You know, we're all individuals, but similar to the Xers, who were the forgotten generation, but that's a whole nother episode and conversation. Raven, I'm so glad that we met, number one, which I do believe is in purpose and not an accident. I'm so excited that you're doing the work that you're doing because it benefits so many people, and you're just incredible. I'm so glad we're connected. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Oh, listeners, you know, this was one of my favorites. I don't say it every episode, but this was definitely one of my favorite conversations. I know you enjoyed it as well. Re-listen to it because I know I am. And every episode, as you know, I encourage you, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never, ever stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, I encourage you, always, always choose gratitude.
As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How do you know, man?